Oh goodness, for those of you that have been following along the last month, we are focusing on our one word for the year, and we're focusing on the names of God, the living, living Word, which is God. And we're finding out what some of His names are and what they mean to find out who we can be. Because as we found out, everything that God is, He wants to give away. The Bible tells us that God is the living Word. John 1, 1 through 4 does say, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Every name that the Bible gives God, every name that the Bible gives Jesus, every name that the Bible gives the Holy Spirit, those are their attributes, their nature, and their actions. Because a living word is not just a noun, it's a verb. A living word does something. Our living God does something. His name, the noun, is a verb because it does something every time, every single time. I think that my favorite is Yahweh when Moses said, "Well, who am I supposed to say you are?" And he says, "I am." And that kind of covers it, doesn't it? Who are you? I am. Well, what are you? I am. He's everything. He's limitless. He's wonderful. He's love. He's all of the things that we need. All of who God is, all of who Jesus is, all of who the Holy Spirit is, God wants to pour into us. The New Testament is about the new agreement, the new covenant, where God says, "Look, in the past we've done this. You've kept all these rules and everything, but now I want to put my very nature in you so that you'll have who I am in you so you can walk this out." And it's very, very hard. You know, it's simple, but it's not easy. And God says, "But I want to give you everything that I am so that you can be changed. You can be changed from that old man, that old nature, that old woman, that old nature, and you can be somebody new, somebody different. You can be someone who looks more and more like Christ every day." John 14, 23 says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." I can't think of anything more amazing than God showing up and making his home with you. God made his home with us a long time ago. When you come to our house, it's a home. And there's scriptures everywhere. And there's worship music on. And the Spirit of God is there. In fact, when we moved to Spearfish to pastor Solid Rock Church, we were driving around and praying what God wanted us to do, where he wanted us to be. And he led us up to where we live now, who was a vacant lot. And we both, Cindy and I, both looked at each other and we pulled over, and God spoke to our spirits. He said, "This is where I want you. This is where I want you. This is a prayer perch." A lot of people are like, "Why did you build the house up on that windy hill?" Because God told us to. And it's a prayer perch. It's where God wanted to take up residence. It's where God wanted to establish a part of his kingdom, where God wanted to spread his kingdom. And he wants to do the same thing with each and every one of us. He wants to live with us. And when we allow him to, he does. And he cleans house and he pushes things out. I wish he would clean out my garage. I kind of wish he would. He is cleaning out my garage, yeah. But anyway, you know, God does that. He does that. He's amazing. He's so amazing. He reminds us of everything that he said to us. He prompts us. He loves us. He encourages us. He corrects us. He's amazing. We've been looking into the 12 names of God. We've looked at three each week. And I told you that this week I was probably going to look at four instead of three, but I'm not. I'm saving that last one for next month. So you got to show up next month now, because we're going to do something fun next month too. But anyway, we've been looking at the names of God. And each month we're going to focus on one of those names. Our bulletin board, we've been kind of having a problem trying to figure out what we're going to do on the bulletin board. You know, I mean, Cindy says, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I'm like, finally, this morning, I was like, "You know, we're just going to put the living word in me And then we'll put the names of God, and I'll do that. You get something up there, and then I'll put the names of God, different colors up there, and we'll focus on them through the year. But if God gives you a scripture or a word or God gives you something special, we're going to have notes there. Just write them on those notes and put it up there. And it's going to basically just be a wonderful church journal of where God's taken us. And I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And as new people join us this year, they're going to go, "What's this?" And you can say, "Hey, this is our journal. And these are the names of God. This is God wants something. He's giving something to you. He wants something in your life you've never had before." And look at those names and maybe think about it and pray about it and put a scripture up there. Put a word up there. If God gives you a word, Cindy's got a word. "Man, really?" she thinks. And so put something up there that God has for you, that God is focusing on your direction. Pretty much like before, except with a little bit more, you know, direction, I guess. But anyway, that's what we're going to do. The very first name we looked at was Jesus. Do you realize that his name wasn't Jesus? In the Hebrew, his name was Yeshua. That was his real name. You know, if you go to Israel, they know who Yeshua is. They don't all. Not every Jew believes that he has shown up yet, but those that know he's coming are expecting him. Those that know he's here, and there's a lot of what we call complete. They call themselves complete Jews, or messianic Jews, and the Messiah, Yeshua. Those two words are intertwining, and it means God delivers, saves, and rescues. The total representation of the letters in the Hebrew, the total representation, when a Hebrew looks at those letters, he not only reads God delivers, saves, and rescues, but the representation, the form of those letters forms something which means the blind shall be made to see. And God, throughout the Old Testament, put this tag on Yeshua's name, through his servant Messiah who bears God's name. Yeshua is all of those things. And that's we've been focusing on Jesus this month. You know, I've been encouraging you to think about what Jesus is, who he is, what he means to you. And that's where we started. And the reason we started is because all the other names of God were fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus brought the entire Old Covenant over into a new agreement, a new covenant. That's all it means. The Old Testament means the old agreement, the old promise. And the New Testament means the new agreement, the new promise. And Jesus said, "I didn't come to do away with all of that stuff. I came to fulfill it." And so every name that God was given, every name that we hear in the Old Testament and the New Testament about God, Jesus fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled. So we find in Acts 4:12, and this is kind of interesting because as we go through this living word, the living word in me, it says there is salvation in no one else. In fact, some translations say there is no salvation in no other name. No other name. There is no salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven, okay, that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is that only name. That living word. That living name. The total culmination of everything that God is. God said, "Okay, you want to see what I look like? Here, I'm going to send myself in the form of my son down to earth so you can see what I'm all about." And Jesus shows us what he's all about. And then the Holy Spirit was sent to remind us and teach us and guide us, to give us a new heart, to give us a new spirit so that we could be all about what Jesus is. We've looked into these names, Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is Jehovah our righteousness. I'm just going to go through them real quick because I got to get on to these other last three that we're looking at. And that means that God forgives sin. Aren't you glad he does? A while ago, I remember somebody saying to me, "You know, I never get what I deserve." And I said, "Man, aren't you lucky?" He goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, "How many times, you know, have you like broke the law and you didn't get caught?" He's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, how many times, you know, did you like maybe, you know, go through a stop sign or maybe, you know, this or that, and you never got caught? So you didn't get what you deserved, right?" no. And I kind of went on a few other things. I said, how about this? I said, without Jesus, I said, you know, and this person was a Christian that said this, I never get what I deserve. I said, with Jesus, you don't get what you deserve. And you're very lucky because what you deserve is eternal damnation and burning forever in hell. And they kind of looked at me. She's like, no, why don't you just tell me what you really want to say? I said, see, we need to realize that God forgives sin. Jehovah M. Kadesh is one the other. Jehovah who sanctifies. It basically means he adopted us. He set us apart. And this week, my grandpa Wilson, my grandpa Jim, he was like closest person in my life for a long time. I mean, my mom and dad were very close, but my grandpa Jim, in fact, it was said that, wow, we can't see Jimmy because he's in Big Jim's shadow. And it was true. It was so true. He was amazing. The wonderful thing about my grandpa Jim is two things. I ended up with his name, and secondly, he was adopted. I always say that because he married my grandmother, and all of us grandkids adopted him. He didn't have a choice. He had to be a grandpa, and he was an amazing one. You see, God made that choice to adopt us. Isn't that wonderful that he did that? And his name means that he sanctifies, he sets apart. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is our peace. If you don't have peace, it's because you're not close enough to God. I'm, you know, when I lose my peace, I realize that I'm someplace I shouldn't be. Either in my mind, my spirit, or in my actions. And God says, I am that peace. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is there. He's the Holy Spirit within us, is what that means. Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah heals. It means that we have soundness, we have health, we have healing. Do you realize that we're in the process of being healed? Because God is in the process of preparing us for heaven. A lot of people don't like the way God heals. The way God heals is he takes us through life and we experience all kinds of things. And he heals our spirit and he heals our soul and he heals our mind and he heals our body, because eventually this body dies and we get a new one. That is God's incredible process. And sometimes we get healed of physical ailments, don't we, Ken? Sometimes God does wonderful things. God healed our oldest daughter of MS, you know, which is pretty amazing. Right now at college, I'm doing a study on the human brain, and when they said, does anyone know what melon is? And I went, I do. Because we saw God miraculously heal the covering of our daughter's brain. We saw the MRIs. They have them. Medical proof, scientific proof, God heals. He does amazing things. And he always heals us from the inside out. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. His provision shall be seen. The thing about walking with God is other people see it. They might not quite understand it or know what's going on, but God's provision will be seen. God's provision will be seen. You know, you know one of the biggest provisions God gives us? A smile on our face. You know, that is universal. I don't care where you go in the world. If you smile at somebody, they smile back. That's God's provision, that there's something in you that's different, because there's a lot of people out there not smiling. And do you know that it takes a lot more nerves to frown than it does to smile? A lot more muscles and nerves? Yeah. God said, I want to make this easy for you. But a lot of people just don't take the easy way, do they? God does. He is provision, okay? Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah my banner, which means what we sang about that this morning a little bit. God is over us. He is our banner. He is our authority. Wherever we go, he's over us. In freedom and in security, we can walk in God. We rewatched that movie last night, Woodland, and a lot of people stood up to the plate in that movie. If you get a chance, watch it. A lot of people stood up to the plate. It was about racial injustice. It was about religious, you know, basically separation of church and state. And a lot of people stood up. And back in the 70s, Cindy and I were part of this. It was a Jesus movement. And people, I'll tell you what, they jeopardized a lot of things. And we have a lot of freedoms today because a lot of these things did go to court and they went forward. It's like, okay, separation of church and state doesn't mean that the state can tell you you can't. But it means you have the freedom to do it, and the state has to stay out of your stuff. And that's what the law really was written for. Or how about racial and social injustices? Man, I praise God that a lot of people stood up. They stood up, and they realized that God was their banner, and they stepped across those lines of racial injustice. They stepped across those lines of basically the government telling the church what to do. God is our banner. Yahweh Tsuri, God is my rock. That's one of the reasons that God gave us the name of this church, Solid Rock Church. And then he put a church up here on the hill on Solid Rock, and then he sold it to us. And God is our rock. We're not going anywhere. I mean, if a 100-mile-an-hour wind can't blow this building down, and it tried, it was amazing. There was damage all over the place. The only thing, we lost a little bit of our roof, you know? And not really any roof, just shingles, not even roof, you know? God is our rock. He's that place where we go for protection. He's that place where we take a stand and we fight. God is our rock. So today, I want to look at another name of God, Elroy. No, God did not use the name of the Jetsons' son, Elroy. Man, I'm sorry. I grew up on the Jetsons, so every time I see this, I think, his boy, Elroy, you know. And that's not what it means. El means mighty, 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 mighty in the Hebrew. I mean, over the top mighty. And Roy is to see. And it basically means that the Almighty God, the God that is above everything, sees me. Now, we find this name, it's interesting, we find this name given to God by an Egyptian girl. What? Yeah, God does some cool things. Okay? In Genesis 16, we hear the story of Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant of Sarai, the wife of Abraham. Okay? And Sarai gets a little impatient because, you know, God promised an heir, nothing's happened, she's old. So she says to Abraham, hey, I've got this really cute young maidservant. You want to sleep with her and have a baby? And Abraham, being the guy that he is, like, hey, yeah. Maybe not how it happened, but it is how it happened. So anyway, Abraham did. He slept with Hagar. And as she was pregnant, two things happened. There's two times that Hagar ran off. One time she ran off because she ran away. This is that time. And the next time she was set out. Both times God saw her and took care of her. But the first time that it happened, okay, she was treated very harshly by Sarai because of jealousy, because of who knows what. But anyway, Abraham's wife started treating her very harshly, and Hagar ran off. And she finds herself out in the desert, okay, desperate and alone, without food, without water. And an angel of the Lord appears before her to bring her comfort. And in that time of meeting with God, I mean, you think about this. God intervenes for this young lady who was treated very harshly, very unfairly. You know, number one, she was a slave. She didn't have any say in the matter. When Sarai said, you're going to conceive with my husband, she had to do it. She was a slave. She's probably going, ew, he's creepy and old. Who knows? But it wasn't her idea. And then secondly, after she does exactly what she's told to do, then her mistress treats her so harshly, so badly, that she runs away. Now, she must have been treated very, very harshly, because to run away as a slave at that point, there was only one remedy for that, and it was death. So when the angel of the Lord came to her and comforted her and said, you're supposed to go back, she was once again trusting the authority and the power over her. Said, you need to go back. And what did she say? She declares in Genesis 16:13, you are Elroy. You are the God who sees me. You're the God who sees me. You know, so many times in our lives, things are going on. We go through the harsh times. Have you ever gone through anything like this, young lady? I don't think so. If You ever found yourself out in a desert because you did exactly what you're supposed to do and everybody wants to kill you? Maybe not quite that bad. Maybe that bad. But if you have had it that bad, think about this. Here is a young lady, okay, who basically realized that God sees me. And what she's saying here is God sees me and He cares about me. He cares for me. And the next incident that Hagar has with God, she's pushed out of the camp, and God feeds her, takes care of her. And her son does grow up to be a mighty nation. In fact, many nations. His heritage is all the nations around Israel that basically don't get along with him right now. But you see, God sees us. God sees us. He sees us when we're thirsting. He sees us when we feel like we're starving to death. And you want to know something? God promises over and over in His Word this promise we find in Nahum 1:7. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him." He knows and He sees those who take refuge in Him. And He is good. He is a stronghold. He is, He is, He is. You know, God said, "I am," and we can say He is. Because He is. God sees us. He sees us. The next one is this is the first time in the Bible, this is the first name that we find of God. It's Elohim. Elohim. I had an Old Testament professor, and I wish that I could give him due for the way that he just lifted this name up. He had a love for Elohim, the God of all. He had a love and he had a passion for teaching the Old Testament, His Word. When I got there, I thought, oh boy, Old Testament survey, this is going to stink. And it didn't. And the first thing that he did is he read us this scripture. It says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth." Elohim means Father God. So the first time that we have God's name mentioned in the Bible, it means that He's our Father and He is the creator of everything. In fact, within this name, the meaning that He can create out of nothing. He is our Father who can create out of nothing. He gives birth within us amazing things. He gives birth within us His Spirit. He gives birth within us, before that, He gives birth within us birth. Science and all of their glory have not figured out how that happens yet. They're pretty sure that now it doesn't happen in a little pool of mud, a swamp. No, now amazing things happen. A man and a woman come together and two cells from their bodies come together and a magical, mysterious, supernatural thing happens. Life is formed. Life is formed. That's our Father God. And He continues to form life in us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's His name. The first thing He says is, "Let there be light." And you know what God is saying over us as His, as our Father? He's looking at every one of us and He's like, "Let there be light in you. Let there be light in you. Let there be light in you. Let there be light in you." Because God's light has shone in the darkness. It says in John 1 that God's light shone in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. But those who do comprehend that light, they live a life of light. In the beginning, He created just by the power of His spoken word. It says that when Christ comes back, by His words, He will defeat the enemy. He'll just speak it and it'll happen. He'll just speak it and it'll happen. His spoken word has the power to create something out of nothing. His spoken word, His living word, the Bible that we have and we read, the Holy Spirit, the living Word in us, the Holy Spirit, the living Word in us working, Jesus Christ, that living Word, you know, that works over us, they speak and something comes out of nothing. Have you ever felt like you're nothing? Well, something's about ready to come out of you. Because God's going to speak it. We have no idea what God's speaking in heaven or what God spoke before creation, but He spoke some wonderful, powerful things into our lives. And God, He says, okay, now, this is going to get real interesting. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. I don't know how God does it, but He does it. And I'm amazed that He does it. And I'm grateful that He does it most of the time, because sometimes He speaks things into our life and you're like, really? Are you kidding me? What? But when God speaks, something comes out of nothing. We're told in the Bible that we are created in the image of God. You know what that means? It means that in the image of God, our spoken word is very powerful. We can speak something out of nothing. Now, don't go trying to create a universe. You're not that powerful, okay? But this is how powerful you are. You can say, I love you, I forgive you, I'm here for you, I'm proud of you, you're amazing. You can say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You can say, hey, let's try to move past this. You can say, hey, I'll be here for you. You can say absolutely nothing but be there and say a world of things. Or you can say words and do things that were nothing that become something. Sticks and stones do break our bones because they're words and they last forever. That's the way that little rhyme should go. You see, our words are so powerful. We don't realize, you know, what we speak out of. We don't realize how powerful that is. I'm amazed at how many times I don't even remember doing something, and later on, I had a day, oh my goodness, a couple weeks ago. It wasn't a good day. And I had to go run some errands, and I had to go into one of the grocery stores and get something, and I didn't want to. I mean, you might find this very hard to believe. I'm very social, but there's some days I just don't, you know, maybe the end of the day, or there's times when I'm like, I just would like to go sit down in my family room and watch an action adventure where all the bad guys get killed because they need to get killed. Have you ever been there? Right? Anyway, that's where I was at, and I came in and I ran into somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. And I was like, ugh. I mean, really, inside I was like, ugh. And this person came up to me and was, Pastor Jim, and they gave me a big hug. I was like, whoa, this is creepy. I haven't seen this person for like 10 years. You know, and I'm like, oh, I hope that I can smile right. Have you ever had those days where you just wanted to be able to smile right? You know, your smile was more like this, you know, rather than the way it should be. And you know what the person said? They said, you said something to me a while ago. I'm like, a while ago? I've seen you for 10 years. And it changed my life. I don't even remember saying it. Person gave me a hug, we hugged each other, and I was bawling. It's like, are you okay? Yep. What's wrong? I said, I just really needed that right now. You said something that changed my life. Well, see, what's planted comes back. That's what this person said. What's planted comes back. Yeah, I tell you what, I had to sit out in the car for a while because I could not drive. I bawled for about 10 minutes. God is so good. He is the Father God. He is the Creator. He is the one who speaks something out of nothing. And you know, the wonderful thing is in Proverbs 15, we find a verse. There's verses all over the Bible that teach us this. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Man, a tree of life? A tree of life, that's powerful. Do you know that there's a tree of life in heaven? And we're going to get to partake in it. But do you also know that your spirit can be crushed just by words, right? Jesus, who we put our trust in, okay, He also shares in this incredible power that God has, this incredible power that God has given. And you need to remember who Jesus is and who He is in you. In Colossians 1, 15 through 16, in the NLT it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities of the unseen world. Jesus Christ, our Savior, Father God, Elohim, the Holy Spirit, they all have this power, and they want us to share in this power. But that means we're going to have to be careful about what we say, because there's power there. The last name I want to look at this morning is Yahweh Tzevut, and it means the Lord of Hosts. This name of God appears in the Bible, in the Old Testament, over 250 times. The Lord of Hosts. And we look at that and we go, cool, he's the Lord of Hosts. And we say it, and we sing it. You know what it means? Translated literally, it means that he is the Lord of armies. He is the Lord of armies. And we right away we think, oh yeah, he's the Lord of all the angelic armies. He's the Lord of armies. If an army on this world has won a battle or a war, it is because God is the Lord over that army. Whether they conquered, whether an unjust empire like the Romans or like the Babylonians or whatever they did was because of the purposes of God. We can look and see that the Roman Empire was put into place so that there would be this amazing system where the gospel could be spread throughout the whole world because the Romans organized the world so you could safely travel anywhere in the civilized world. The Babylonian Empire, they came in. The Israelites, they were goofing off. They were messing up. And God says, I'm going to use these guys to come in and teach you. How many armies came before little old Israel and got their butts handed to them because God went, no, you're not going to beat them this time. We can even look closer than that. Okay, how about the Second World War? Do you know that strategically we should have lost that war? England should have lost the war. The war should have been over. England should have been conquered, and we would have went, whoa, no thank you. We got two oceans on both sides of us that say, no, the Nazis are going to stay over there, and the Japanese can stay over there. And then, what happened? There was a couple events that happened, like Pearl Harbor. You know, if a big bear is sleeping, you're better off not to poke it. Well, we got poked. Because I think God wanted us to get poked. We have another war. We have the Civil War of America. And you want to know something? The Union was not in the best of places to win that war. Nobody really won that war. But there's an interesting thing that we know about that war. Number one, the one side, you know, we always go back, well, the one side, it was about slavery, and they wanted slaves to be free, you know, and this and that. Yes and no. It was just as political back then as it is now, okay? If you do an in-depth search of American history, you're going to find out, yes, there were good people, and there were good people on both sides. There were Christians on both sides. There were brothers and sisters in Christ fighting against each other on both sides. But the bottom line is, for some reason or another, God wanted it to turn out the way God wanted it to turn out. And at that point in time, we did have a president of the United States that knew about God and knew God. A man who had struggled, a man who had lost, a man who had won, but a man who followed God. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And if some people they'll diss Abraham Lincoln. You can do whatever you want to. The majority of the facts about Abraham Lincoln are this: he listened to God, he prayed, and he followed God. That's all I need to know. Because one time, okay, during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln is purportedly, okay, he was asked if God was on the Union side. Well, you know, in this day and age, there's a lot of politicians out there, well, you bet God's on our side. That's why we're winning. Well, the Union wasn't necessarily winning at this point. Things weren't looking good. And when he was asked this question, Abraham Lincoln supposedly said this, and I looked around because we were talking about something in our men's group about the whole time thing. We find out we're wrong, okay? Anything that was said about that time thing and that missing day, Forget it, okay? We're not sure. How's that? Is that a good answer? Yeah. But this one we're pretty sure of, because I made sure that this was an urban myth, okay? I actually found it in a textbook in a library down in Georgia. Oh. So if we got something positive about Abraham Lincoln in the South, it's got to be true. Okay, so here we go. This is what he said. He said, "Sir, it's not my concern whether God is on our side," said Abraham Lincoln. He said, "My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." And you see, God, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. You know, so everything that's going on in the world, whether we like, a lot of people are like, "Can you believe where America's at?" And I go, "Yeah, I can." Because there's a lot of people that are trusting in worldly power. They're trusting a lot of things. You want to know something? Our love for God through Jesus Christ happened during the Roman Empire. And they make our government look like a bunch of Sunday school teachers. You don't like it? You're dead. You see, God's on the throne and he's in control. And he's in control of every army on earth, every army in heaven. So when things are going a certain way, we can go, our God is in control. He is the king of the universe. And you want to know something? He is fighting on our behalf. The 250 times that God's name is used in this, it is always because God is fighting on the behalf of his children. Or God is moving something in the world on behalf of his children. God is in the middle of it. The king of the universe is fighting on our behalf here in everything that we can see, but he's also fighting for everything we can't see. God is the Lord of hosts. God is the Lord of armies. God is the Lord of an angelic army that we cannot see, but the few times in the Old Testament when it was seen, the people involved were just like, "Okay, you got this, God. We're good with this." Elijah's servant, "What are we going to do? We're surrounded." He said, "Well, God, show him what's going on. You know, mountains full of horses and chariots of fire. That's our God." There is a promise that I hold on to. I'm not sure exactly what my guardian angel or angels look like, but I'm pretty sure that they're built like an Abrams M1 tank. Pretty sure. Some of the stuff that they've got me through. Pretty tough. And it says here in Hebrews 1:14, and this is a scripture I believe that we should all put to memory, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The writer of Hebrews is telling about what's going on in the realm of the heavenlies. And he just stops and he says this one little verse. "Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" It's like, he's like, really? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Really? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Why are you fretting? Why are you distressing? Start praying. Because if you bring those guys in to the mix, things are going to change. And you might not see an outward change around you, but you're going to feel an inward change within you. Many, many, many Christians throughout the ages have felt that inward change. And they've done crazy things because they knew that all the angels in heaven are sent to serve us who will inherit salvation. We have that angelic army fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, preparing a way for us to walk with Jesus Christ in a way he wants us to walk. And that is the name that we're going to end with. God is the Lord of hosts, and he has sent his angels to serve us because he's already said when we come to Christ Jesus, we're going to inherit salvation. We're the people that he's fighting for. So this year, I encourage you You know, go over the names that we've done in this study. There's a flyer back there. On the website, this is posted, the names, titles, and descriptions of God. You know, and pray about it. Say, you know, it doesn't have to be. It could be most of these titles and descriptions, they're words of provision and protection. They're words of God acting in your life. It's just a really good springboard, you know, of some place to find what you really think God is talking to you about. And when you do get something, a scripture or a word or an encouragement, write it down. We'll put it up on the board. We'll start our journey together. And remember always, because of who God is, because of who He is, invite Him to move in with you. Every day, I get up and when I'm putting my feet on the floor, I'm like, okay, God, I'm so happy that You're moved in with us. Thank You, Lord, for being here. And Lord, take over another room, especially my garage. God, You take over our lives. Because John 14:23, Jesus, He promised when He replied, if anyone loves Me, they will obey My teaching, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said, we'll move in with You. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You do move in with us. And Lord, today we invite You to be the master guest in the home of our heart, in the home of our mind, in the home of our spirit. Lord, in every material place, Lord, that we walk, work, play, sleep, or live, Father, we ask You to be living with us, living in us, and surrounding us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that this year we'll have an amazing year because our focus will be on You. And You, Lord, will show us what that focus is supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.